Hey everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. I'm your host, Scott Klein, and with me today is Casey. Casey, how are you doing?
Good, how are you doing?
Good. So why don't you take a minute and introduce yourself?
My name is Casey Karst. I'm a program manager on SQL Server on the MPP team, and I'm here to talk to you today about Polybase.
Awesome.
And Polybase Scaleout Group.
Yeah, so we had Sahej, is that how you say his name? Kind of remote, but he did an intro, kind of intro to Polybase.
Yep, yep.
And probably one of the top watched videos so far.
Awesome. Good.
So today we're talking about kind of how, you know, building on top of that, and how do you scale Polybase, right?
Exactly. So we're main thing we want to talk about today is this Polybase scale-out group concept that we're introducing in SQL Server 2016.
Perfect. Okay.
And so, as you, you want to just jump right in?
Sure. Absolutely. Awesome. Yeah.
Okay. So, suppose the scenario is, you have a lot of data in Hadoop, right?
Yep.
So you have, this is your Hadoop cluster, and here's your Polybase scale-out group. If the data becomes so large in Hadoop that you're trying to pull it into a single SQL instance, you can imagine that being a bottleneck, where the you just can't get enough data in fast enough to process external data. So we started thinking about it as like, how do we really solve this problem? And let's look at the past and see how other products do it. So SQL PDW and SQL DW came up with this scale-out mentality, right? Where you have multiple SQL instances, they all know about each other, and they can split up a query appropriately.
Okay.
And so we're introducing this concept of the scale-out group in SQL Server, which acts pretty similar to that, where you have multiple SQL instances.
Okay.
One of them is designated the head node, and the other ones are the compute nodes. So all a customer has to do is interact with the head node. So write a query saying, hey, I want to go reach out and query a bunch of data in Hadoop. The query gets split up, given to each of the compute nodes.
Right, okay.
And then each compute node, since it talks to every data node, can act in parallel.
So are each one of these is an instance.
A SQL Server, yep.
Right. Are these almost in a cluster scenario? Because, you know, obviously they're going to have to know about each other, right?
Yep.
So are they in some sort of clustering environment or?
Not necessarily. They just have to be on the same domain.
Okay.
And then you just run a simple SP configure on each one of the computers.
So they could be just random.
That's actually the coolest part. Yeah, they can be anything, right? And then so you could have an app running on this one, and a separate app running on 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter.
So it could be, as long as they're on the same domain, they could be just random instances of SQL Server.
Yeah.
SQL 16.
Yeah. They could actually be the failover for the head node, right? So
if
you have an always-on group, you have that compute resource that's just sitting there idle waiting for a failover.
Yeah.
With this, well, you just join it to the group. You're using those computation resources now.
Yeah, so they could be in a best practice scenario. These are like an always-on scenario,
they don't have to be. We've heard a lot of feedback from customers saying, "Hey, what am I doing with this always-on backup? Right, it's just sitting around." Well, this is a solution to actually use some of that power that's sitting there waiting for failover.
Okay.
So they can be just about any instance. We found that scaling, so adding each new node, linearly increases performance.
Is there anything I have to do then to say, hey, I'm part of this scale out?
Polybase scale out? Just a simple stored proc that you run on each compute node.
Oh, okay.
Where you reference the head node.
Okay.
And you just run it, and it says, okay, you're part of the group. Then you have to restart this Polybase DMS.
On each instance.
On each instance.
Okay.
And then, and then from there, you're ready to rock and
roll. Okay, so pretty easy. So basically, we're saying, hey, I've got, let's say 10 instances of SQL, 10 different instances. I just run a stored procedure on each one going, hey, here's my head node.
Yep.
Right? And that tells the head node, hey,
I'm the one in charge.
I'm the one in charge, and I have these available other worker nodes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
And then, as the diagram shows, each one of the nodes directly connects to every data node in the Hadoop cluster, which really parallelizes the data loads, right?
And we'll
look at that in a couple minutes on SSNS.
So, but each instance doesn't need to know where all the data nodes are, or all the Hadoop cluster nodes are, right?
No. You do that once on the head node.
On the head node.
You set up the external data source and the external file format. The customer submits queries directly to the head node.
Yeah.
And then all the distribution takes
and that's done by through the head node.
Yep.
Oh, sweet. Okay. So fairly easy to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
very nice. All right, cool.
You want to take a look at it?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Demo time. Love
demo time. Straight to it. All right, so I'm now connected to my head node in this instance. So I can just do a quick look at the DMVs just to prove, yes, in fact, I am a part of a compute cluster. So you'll see here where I ran a select star from the dim exact compute node. So what are the compute nodes in the cluster? You'll see I have three nodes in this cluster. The head node is also acts as a compute node.
Oh, okay.
So it has some computational power there as well. So you'll see, yeah, compute node one is the head node and the compute nodes.
Okay.
Compute nodes two and three are already set up. So that's pretty neat. I just wanted to prove that I have the setup.
Okay.
So we're going to be dealing with the same data that Sahej dealt with in the previous episode, the insurance data and the sensor, just to keep that part the same, and we'll expand concepts, right?
Okay, perfect.
So in case people haven't seen it, we'll do a quick F5 of this. So this is just the relational data. This is stored locally in SQL Server.
Mm-hmm.
You can see right here.
Yep.
And then the sensor data is actually external data. So when I hit when I execute, what happened there is I submitted the query to the head node.
Yep.
It pushed the computation out to the compute nodes.
Okay.
Reached out into Hadoop, streamed the data back in, and then presented me this.
Okay. All right. So that query used all these compute nodes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which we can actually dive in and look at in the DMVs real quick.
Okay. Sweet.
So let's jump over to that. So we just ran a query. It was a streaming query, right?
Yep.
And we streamed the data back. So let's see, just of all the queries that we've run, let's pick out that one that we just did, right? So it was this one, the select star from demo DW of the sensor data. So I'm taking the execution ID, just inserting it here so we can look at stuff a little bit closer. So what this first DMV is showing is just showing the steps that we went through. So what actually happened under the covers when I submitted that query? So I submitted the query to the head node, which created a temp table. So I'm going to land all this data in a temp table when I pull it all back.
Okay.
So it creates temp, the 354. It's a random operation on which temp table ID it's coming up with.
Okay.
You prepare the table for streaming. So you update statistics, create statistics. And then here you see, and this is on each of the compute nodes. So each of the compute nodes has its own temp table to land data.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right.
And then each node has one, so it'll go each one and then pull them all together to the head node at the end.
Okay.
And then you'll see this multi-stream operation in this Hadoop round robin. So that's actually reaching out to get the data, and it's streaming back in into T1-1. Right. So those are the temp tables. So it's just pulling in the data, and then it streams it back to the head node, and then it drops the temp table once the results are presented. So that's, under the covers, the nine steps that what happened in under a second.
Okay. Wow.
So that's for the streaming case, which is pretty cool for small sets of data. It makes it a neat demo, but we're talking Hadoop. So Hadoop has lots of data.
Yeah, so if you're doing tons and tons and tons of data.
Yeah. And so I don't know if Sahej talked about this, but we have this concept of pushdown with Polybase. And so
I can't remember if you talked about that, but yeah.
So what pushdown is on the fly, we can convert a T-SQL statement into a MapReduce job and push that job to Hadoop. So we take advantage of the Hadoop resources. It does all the computation we need, gets a smaller set of data, and then we can stream that data back.
Okay, so you're basically taking data within SQL Server. Is that a true statement, right, so far?
I'll see where you go with
it. Okay, so you're basically taking SQL data, pushing that down to Hadoop.
No.
Okay.
That's a way to do it. But you can imagine if you have sensitive data in SQL Server, and you start pushing it to other distributions over the wire, it might be a security hazard.
Okay.
So local data doesn't get pushed down. We push down the piece of the computation that Hadoop can do with the data that exists there.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. But you are pushing data from SQL to Hadoop.
You're pushing the query.
The query to Hadoop.
And then you're streaming the results back, and then you do post-processing.
No data is being pushed. You're basically pushing the query down to Hadoop.
Correct.
And it's doing the computation there and then streaming the data back.
Yep. So it's T-SQL statement the customer writes. We decided to do a pushdown. Actually, I'll kick this off, so it takes a bit of time, and we can talk about it. But while we're chit-chatting, I'll get this running. So yeah, you write the T-SQL statement. The query optimizer decides whether or not it wants to make a turn it into a MapReduce job or not.
Oh, gotcha.
And so when it turns it into the MapReduce job, it converts it into the Java MapReduce, submits it to the resource manager, and then it runs as if it's just a local Hadoop job.
Gotcha, okay.
And then that data lands in a Hadoop temp, table,
mm-hmm.
and then we stream that data back out into SQL Server.
So what's the difference between this and what we saw earlier? Are we still pushing the query down?
Earlier we streamed the data directly back. So Hadoop did no computation on its side.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So we're just saying, okay, Hadoop is basically the storage layer in that case.
Yep.
We're saying the data is too large to stream it back over the wire.
Mm-hmm.
So how about we leverage Hadoop's computational processing?
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So it's actually doing all the query processing.
Yep. Which is why it's taking a bit of time. It takes 20 to 30 seconds.
Okay.
Just to generate a MapReduce job as part of Hadoop. So this is, you know, obviously less performant for the smaller data set, but if you're really scanning large amounts of data,
right.
you probably want to use...
You're leveraging the power of Hadoop and its MapReduce and query processing and bringing that back.
Yeah, okay. You're bringing the computation to the data.
Yeah, okay.
You can force it with this option forced external pushdown,
mm-hmm.
just for the sake of demos and things like that, or you think you are streaming data, it'll be faster to push down versus stream or anything like that. But the query optimizer in SQL Server 2016 makes the decision for you.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, in this scenario, was it we talked about the scale? We're not doing anything. It's just the head node is just pushing down the query. There's nothing happening right now in this scenario
mm-hmm.
On the compute node, the SQL compute node.
Oh, it's for the streaming the data back.
Streaming the data back.
Yeah. So it just speeds up that part of the process. Okay. So the head node does talk directly to Hadoop, and saying, "Hey, here's a T-SQL statement." Now it's turned into a MapReduce job. You push that down to Hadoop, and then you stream the data back.
So those still those nine steps that we saw earlier still apply here in this example because of streaming the data back.
Yeah, let's take a look at those. So, execute. So here's that query that we ran.
Mm-hmm.
Let's scroll down a little more. All right, so and let's execute it. Let's see what happens. So here you'll see the Hadoop job operation. So
mm-hmm.
we created the Hadoop, and that's actually what took the most time. So it shows that the Hadoop job was really, you know, the bottleneck in that 50-second runtime. It wasn't anything on SQL Server side. And then very similar things, right? You create a temp table. You sync the data into the temp table. You're importing the data from HDFS.
Yep.
So that was just saying we have a final data set that we're importing.
And then you're streaming that data back.
Yep. So now it's just a smaller subset.
Okay.
So
in the first example, we just streamed, because we did select star, we streamed all that data back, right?
Yep.
Okay, but this area, hey, we're executing a query, send that query because we want specific stuff.
And potentially larger stuff,
and larger result set back.
Exactly,
what you're saying, right?
Exactly.
Push the query down, let it work, and then we'll stream the results back.
Yep. And then suppose because in the query I ran, I joined to a local relational table.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw that, but that all happens on the SQL side.
Mm-hmm.
We don't push down SQL data into Hadoop.
Yep.
Just because you're moving data over the wire, you know, permissions might be different in one place or the other.
Right.
So let's just keep all the local data local. We'll bring it in. We'll do the join. But some predicates can be pushed down, like the aggregates, right?
Right,
you can
okay.
do sums, you can do counts, you can do things like that. So that sort of stuff actually works really well. So
okay.
So suppose you have a key down in Hadoop, and you just push it down, group on a key, pull it back, you join to the key in SQL.
Okay.
And that's a pretty reasonable.
So you're still leveraging the scale here from the from streaming back, but we're also leveraging the scale of Hadoop, right?
Exactly, for the computation.
Gotcha.
And we can see just kind of how that scale plays out by looking here. Let's do this. Sorry, I have to scroll all the way up, but my trackpad isn't working. Okay, so we're going to have two queries come back. The first one we saw. The second one is new. So this is showing each individual step that's happening on each of the nodes.
Oh, really? Okay.
So it's not just the fact that each node is there. It's also the number of cores on the nodes, right? So the mm-hmm. nodes can be doing multiple things at once.
Oh, okay.
So in this case, it's 8 events per machine. So by So you basically have 24 threads open pulling data in at a time.
Oh, really? Okay. On each node.
No, total.
In the cluster. Total. Yeah. Oh, okay, okay, in the cluster.
But yeah, you went from 8. If you were to do this on a single node, it would be 8.
8.
Or however many.
Oh, but here you got 24, yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So that's, yeah.
So this is a way to see what's going on each, in each.
Each core on each
core on each machine.
Yep, yep. And so it'll usually flow through a real process. Let me scroll back down. But yeah, so you can do this. You can see the reads, mm-hmm. the reads from external data, the streaming in, the writes.
Okay.
You can see all of that.
So these DMVs are a great way to go, what is going on each node, even each yep. core on each node yep. when I execute a job?
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. We're pretty excited about them. But, and I don't get paid to say that. So yeah, let me just do this. It'll be a little easier. So then we can take a look at, I hope this works. So then we should be able to see, this comes back. It's what data are we moving around, right? Oh, this is exactly what I was describing. Perfect. So here you see we're still in the case where we push down the external data.
Yep.
Or we push down the computation to the to Hadoop.
To Hadoop, yeah.
It finished the job. So we have this external reader.
Yep.
So we're reading the data from the external source. You see how long each step took. And then it goes into this round-robin converter. So you're pulling the data in from Hadoop. And then you're laying on top of it that external file format that we defined earlier.
Yeah.
So you're converting it to a relational format that SQL Server can deal with, and it's nice and tabular.
Mm-hmm.
So it does that step, and then it writes it to that temp table.
Interesting.
So you can see each of the steps. You can see which one's taking the longest amount of time. You can see on all of the compute nodes what's happening.
Wow.
So it's pretty extensive, but if you see the pattern, right? That's like the biggest thing I want everybody to be
so
aware of.
So read, convert, write.
Yeah, exactly, write, exactly. Right. Yeah. It's a very formulaic process that happens to get the data into SQL Server. So once you have that in mind, this stuff, although it's a huge long table, it's not that scary, right? It's a very
but easy to read as long as you know the steps.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Okay.
And then you can. Make a better call on what's taking the longest amount of time, where are we bottlenecking, and things like that.
Now, are these DMVs, how do we find out about these DMVs? Are these published somewhere?
Yeah, they're published on MSDN in the Polybase section of SQL Server 2016 documentation.
Okay.
There's a troubleshooting with DMVs section right after Polybase scale-out.
Oh, okay.
So you can read up about Polybase scale-out if you want to dive into the DMVs, mm-hmm. which are still valid for single node, mm-hmm. so just a head node.
Okay.
You can just read up on them there.
Perfect. Awesome. Yeah. Okay, so again, I think what we covered is how to set up a scale, kind of a scale out, right? So
how
easy that is. And then if I want to, so I can do a streaming data, I think the first time was how do I stream data back?
Exactly. How do we stream data in?
Right. And what happens behind the covers when I stream data in?
Exactly.
And then if I want to take the computation to the data.
Exactly.
Right. Let me push the query down, let it do its computation there, and then stream the data back. So still leveraging the scale out on both sides.
Exactly. Yes. So that's the true big data world that we're envisioning with Polybase and SQL Server.
So is this available, I know they just talked about CTP 3.3. Is this available now in 3.3?
It is.
Okay.
Yep.
Any changes? I don't know if you can answer this, but so I'm going to put you on the spot.
For RTM.
Yeah, what's between now and, between RTM, what can we expect?
Just making the product better.
Okay.
We're looking at increasing performance, making sure that, we can truly bring a big data offering.
Yeah.
That's the only big one I can talk about. That spring planning is exciting.
Okay, good. So not to put you on the spot,
no,
but we'd always
no
like
problem,
to talk
no.
about. Hey, is there anything new that we can?
Yeah, no.
Cool. Awesome. Casey, thanks for coming. This is fantastic. I'd love to have you back, talk more about Polybase in the future.
Yeah, will do.
Especially while around GA timeframe, when we can talk about some of the cool stuff.
Perfect.
Awesome. Yeah. Casey, thanks for coming. Great. Everybody, thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.